Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C.O.G., whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. By the grace of God for us today, this Sunday is special in 20 days of glory. Is our glorious day of declaring enough is enough. Look at your neighbor, tell the person enough is enough. Enough of that challenge. Enough of this level. Enough of what I'm going through. I'm stepping into a new phase. I can hear you. Can you shout, I'm stepping into a new phase? Hallelujah. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12. We're going to read from verse 5 to 11. Then I expound, then we pray for. And Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. Move a little bit to verse 2. Let's see. Okay. Verse 1. Let's start from verse 1. I think that's clear. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand and vexed certain of the church. Go ahead. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Dead were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in the prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keeper before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hand. Now the rest, you all know the story. He brought him out of the prison, and that was the end of the affliction. Herod did not lay his hand again. Now listen, if you allow the devil to take your business, he will take your marriage, he will take your children, he will take everything. If the devil lays hand on something around your space and you become too comfortable, he will take everything. Why? Because it is his business to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the assignment. The business of Satan generally is to what? To steal, to kill, and to what? Destroy. So if you just allow the devil an inch, he will take a mile. So one of the things you do is to stand your ground in the place of prayer and declare what? Enough is enough. I can't take this anymore. I can't take this over my health anymore. I can't take this over my business anymore. I can't take this over my career anymore. This nonsense must stop around my space. It takes the people who are very angry at nonsense to stop nonsense. Because what you tolerate, you cannot end. What you embrace, you cannot stop. If you don't want it, you stop it. Are you getting what I'm saying here this morning? So this morning I see the hand of God coming, and people are stopping certain things that you are not comfortable with again in the name of Jesus. Amen. I didn't hear you say louder, amen. Amen. Today, listen to me, God is showing up for somebody, and that pattern will end in the name of Jesus. Amen. Negative cycles will end in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Nahum chapter 1 verse 9, say, what do you conspire against the Lord? It shall not stand. What do you conspire against the Lord? What is your discussion against the Lord? Affliction shall not rise the second time. Rise on your feet. We're going to pray right now. Pray with all your hearts. Pray with all your hearts. That sickness that ate all my money before is showing up again. That sickness that makes us spend all our money, you know, on your parents is coming again, and we're going to spend all our resources like that. Never. That carryover that kept you in depression, enough is enough. That miscarriage that make people ask you questions. Kai, I remember the testimony of one of our sisters when she was saying that they told her, you know, when she was testifying that day, that she lost the child, and they had already prayed that, you will not carry your baby in the nylon home. You know, there are some things that really, they sound somehow. And, you know, those nurses are prayed like that. And this time around, you know, affliction would have risen. But she insisted, I will not carry my baby in the nylon. Yes, I'm supposed to carry my baby home with a shawl or something, is that not? I'm not going to use a nylon. That's how you tell yourself that I will not, my testimony will never be aborted. My joy will be full. Look to two people, tell them, neighbor, watch me. By the mercies of God, my joy will be full. Look for another neighbor, tell neighbor, look at me. I believe in God. By his mercies, my joy will be full. Look up here. We're going to pray and declare in the name of Jesus. No affliction will rise a second time. Words are powerful. By your words, you are justified. By your words, you are condemned. Today, you can use your word to silence every accuser and every hand that is trying to stop you. Lift up your voice and declare in the name of Jesus. Shout it out. Say, today, I declare over my family, over my health, over my career, over my finance, affliction will not rise a second time. Enough is enough. Affliction will not rise a second time. Enough is enough. Lift up your voice and begin to pray right now. I want you to pray passionately. I want you to pray passionately. Is that how you are praying? Is that how you are praying? Ijanupi ogun titan Olugbala Jagu molu Ori ayo Lemi o mako Ale Lu. I want you to pray, declare, enough is enough. Songs of victory, songs of joy, songs of testimonies. Are you praying from your heart? It is not a prayer with lips. It has to be from your heart. It has to be from your heart. You have one more minute prayer. Enough is enough, Satan. Leave my mother alone. Leave my brother alone. Leave my health alone. Get out of my space. Get out of my finances. Only one. Enough, Satan. Take your hand off that heart. Take your hand off that body. Take your hand off that business. Take your hand off that career. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let your amen roar like thunder. That sickness that serves money, I declare enough in the name of Jesus. That business failure, career failure, academic carryover, enough is enough in the name of Jesus. They are waiting for you to lose another opportunity, waiting for you to fail again, waiting for the landlord to kick you out of the house, expecting that your marriage will collapse, expecting that you will never be able to succeed. I declare, it shall not stand in the name of Jesus. It shall not stand in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and say, dear Father, I declare today every expectation of the wicked against my life, it is frustrated. Shout it is frustrated in the name of Jesus. The expectation was that Peter would die the same way they killed James. That was the expectation. They were expecting it, passionately expecting. Anybody expecting your business to close, expecting your life to go down, expecting your career to go down, expecting you to come to the place where you are crying and regretting, listen to me, that is canceled permanently in the name of Jesus. Declare in the name of Jesus, no expectation of the wicked over my life will be accomplished. It shall not stand. Shout it, it shall not stand. Shout it, it shall not stand. Shout it, it shall not stand. By the power of the Holy Ghost, supernatural intervention, I and my family, we are delivered from the expectation of the wicked. I and my family, we are delivered from the desire of the wicked. In the name of Jesus, shout never again. Failure never again. Disease never again. In the name of Jesus. Every satanically programmed affliction targeted to repeat itself that will cause pain. Somebody shout, enough is enough. Declare, enough is enough. Declare, enough is enough. By the blood of the everlasting covenant, I declare, as you have said it from your mouth to the ears of God, in the name of Jesus. The mercy of God overturned every negative pattern. I declare the mercy of God brings divine turnaround. Let it happen speedily. I say that turnaround will happen speedily. In the name of Jesus. God raised intercessors for Peter, but we didn't hear about James' intercessors. That in the day of affliction, God will raise a voice for you. In the day where discussions are going on in places where you cannot enter, where they will say, we are sorry, stay outside the door, may God go ahead and raise a voice for you in that place. I pray for you today in the name of Jesus, by the mercy of God. Throughout this week, we have prayed and dealt with satanic, demonic, negative patterns. I declare they are permanently buried in the name of Jesus. The hand of the Lord rest upon you. The hand of the Lord rest upon your family. The hand of the Lord rest upon your business. What happened before, negative things will not happen again. The devil's playbook over your life has expired. You and your family members have escaped the covenant of failure. You have escaped the covenant of setback. Whoever entered the covenant, their tenure has expired. By the blood of the everlasting covenant, you have taken over. I say, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, you have taken over. What you perceive to have lost, it looks like you have lost it. It looks like you have lost it. Even in your mind, you are thinking and saying, I declare by the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, I declare total restoration in the name of Jesus. That business will not go like that in the name of Jesus. That opportunity will not go like that in the name of Jesus. That door is not shut against you again in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift up your voice and begin to appreciate Him right now. Be seated up in heavenly places. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. The God who answers prayers is Your name. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy God who answers prayers is Your name. Hallowed be Thy name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me just share with you a few things, three thoughts in my head that you can use to put a hedge around your life. It is day 13, is that not? 20 days of glory. And God has been gracious to us. I want to challenge everyone, please and please. I know some of us are very busy with your work and all that, but you can sneak out time this period. Some people have taken leave this period from their offices to attend. Some people have been coming from very far places just to attend 20 days of glory. Travel, solid steps that you need to take to secure it, so that in times where there are, you know, satanic manipulations and all manner of attacks, you can enjoy divine intervention. One of the secrets is kingdom service. Write it down. Kingdom service. And this kingdom service must be kingdom service that is joined with a heart of joy and gladness. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's look at from verse 47 to 48. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy. Dethrone your enemy. Hallelujah. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God. He's talking to them with joyfulness of heart. In other words, the way God wants you to serve him is with what? Joyfulness of heart. It should not be a burden. It should not be a heartache. Yesterday we said we're going out. We told people to come. Some people just disappeared. They're seeking for service. It shows that transport is not the problem. Heart is the problem. It's heart. They're seeking, but they didn't come for the outreach. Kai. That gave me a lot to think about yesterday anyway. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God, and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of... He said, if you serve him with joyfulness and the gladness, he said there will be what? Abundance of all things. He now told them, he said, because they did not do that, so that they will receive the abundance of all things. The next verse now said to them, he said, therefore shall they serve their enemy, not you. Amen. Because he's talking to Israel now. They didn't do the right thing. Which the Lord shall send against them in hunger and in thirst and in darkness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon their neck until they have destroyed them. Why? They refuse to serve the Lord their God. How? With gladness of heart. Gladness of heart. Go back to that place. There are two things there. Gladness, joy, with joyfulness and with what? Gladness of heart. So that they will receive abundance of all things. He said, because of that, that will now be their lot. That will not be anybody's portion in the name of Jesus. God has called us to serve him. The reason you are alive is so that you will serve God. You are not alive to just go and make money for yourself, your business, your career. You are not alive to just give birth to children and marry. You are not just... No! You were created by God for a purpose. And until you align with the agenda of God to serve him wholeheartedly, with joyfulness of heart, he said, for the abundance of all things.
God is not the man that he should lie. Or the son of man that you should repent. And that's one of the reasons why he's calling many of us to order today. Because God is calling us. You must come to the place of service. God loves people who serve him cheerfully. Those who serve him joyfully. Those who serve him with all their heart. All their life. There's a story in the book of Isaiah chapter 38. Very popular story. We've read it in 20 of Glory before. And we're looking at it. Isaiah 38 from verse 1. Look at it. Let me show you. I tried to explain it the other day, you know. I say in those days, this guy was sick and near unto death. And Isaiah, the son of Amos, prophesied, a popular prophet that has credibility, prophesied. And said, thus says the Lord, set the house in order. Thou shalt die and not do what? Live. The Bible says, then Ezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord. What did he say? And he said, remember now, O Lord. In other words, Ezekiah said, how can I die? Remember. What am I going to remember? He said, how I served you. That's what he was saying. He said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have what? Walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Ezekiah wept sore. Go ahead now, go ahead. Then came the word of the Lord immediately to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Ezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee 15 years. Go ahead now, verse 6. And I will deliver thee and this city into the hand of the out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from heaven that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. What is the sign? He said, because of you, your service, your commitment, your diligence, I will bring again the shadow of the decree which is gone down in the sun dial of Ahaz. 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees backward. By which decree it was what? Gone down. In other words, because of the service of a man, because of the faithfulness of a man, the Bible says that God gave him a sign and he moved the sun 10 degrees backward. Let's move one day away so that I will confirm and always tell Israel that a man served me, and for his faithfulness when he was about to die, that report was coming from heaven. It was not coming from hell. It was not coming from Satan. It was God that said, prepare your house. You are going to do what? Die. And he said, no. Why? I know my right in God. I serve you. I follow you. In fact, if you read the prayer of Hezekiah, you know, those of us that were around the other day, I showed you the prayer of Manasseh. If you read the prayer of Hezekiah, one of the things Hezekiah was saying, he started reminding God how so people tried to raise a negative altar. I locked it down. And I read about 8 things that Hezekiah did. When they raised strange altars, Hezekiah would say no. And the Bible says there was no king in Israel that served God with such a heart that Hezekiah served God with. No king. No king. Hezekiah gave his life. And when he was about to be cut short, God said, no, Hezekiah, 15 more years will go for this kind of person. There's a kind of restoration you receive when you are diligently serving God. When you open up your heart to say, God, beyond the things that you can give me, I want to do what? Serve you. I want to give my time. I want to give my energy. I want to give myself. I want to be devoted. I want to be committed. I want to see how I can be relevant in the agenda of God. Sir, if God were to wake you at night, this night, and wake you up in the dream and say, sit on your bed, let's have a discussion. How relevant are you to my agenda? What would you answer? I go to church. That's not relevant. I'm very busy, you know, because of my business, God, and my career, my children. And that's not the answer. God has an agenda and is looking for those that will serve wholeheartedly and be committed to his plans and his purposes on earth. I pray for somebody under the sound of my voice that by the hand of God touching your heart, she will key into his agenda in the name of Jesus. I usually pray and say, God, whatever you are doing now, let me be part of it. How will I appear before you and I'm not part of what you're doing? How will I appear? How will I appear? How do I even have boldness to make requests before you when I'm not involved? Don't you understand what I'm saying? People are coming, they make requests to God and God. They are not involved. That means they want to use God. They want to scam God. That is the highest level of scam. Are you involved? No. Are you serving? No. Are you committed? No. Are you praying for the church? No. Are you committed to want nothing? You might not be in the workforce, but in the dimension of commitments that you have made to the kingdom. I said, because for whatever reason, I'm not available, I will do this. But anytime I'm available, Saturday, weekend or something, I will ask, what is there to be done? If I'm not available physically, I will ask, what are they doing this season that I can partner with? Because that is how to serve God. There are different ways. There are different ways. There are people that use their influence to serve God. They are very influential. And whenever they don't need to open, they will say, don't worry, wait, let me call so person for you. And before you know it, they call, bam, 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 everything is settled. It's a dimension of service. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because some people do anything that has to do with God, they're not interested. They're not interested. Some people like it when they go hard on the things of God. When we're building here, one day we're just doing some things and the officials came around. We had already done some things we were supposed to do, but they came around. A particular person, they even said that he's a pastor. He's the one that started breaking the building, scattering everything, breaking it. I said, Church of Jesus. The day you fall into calamity and nobody helps you, you'll be asking how. You'll be asking, what did I do? And God will say, Kai, what did you not do? We have done, ask questions. Ask what are the papers or something. Let's even know where you are. Before you know it, go out, everybody. Before you know, he's the one breaking. He's the one scattering. At the end of the day, we discover they said he's a pastor. He said, me too, am I not a pastor? And you had confidence. The day you are rotting in sickness and smelling, even your children will run away. Then you will know that it's them. Beg! They will beg and say, I'm going to church now. See, everything is set. No matter, even if you want to do what you want to do, at least still say, I understand. In a gentle tone, they will say, no. Get out! Don't tell me that. Who is God? Some people ask that kind of question. May God have mercy in the name of Jesus. When Solomon was going to serve God, he served God with all his heart. The Bible says in Job, let me give you Job chapter 36, verse 11. Job chapter 36, verse 11. Very powerful scripture. Job chapter 36. Is it verse 11? Let me see. 11. Job 36. Please. If they obey and do what? Serve him. If they obey and do what? Serve him. If they obey and do what? Serve him. They shall spend their days where? In prosperity. And their years in pleasure. He said, but if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword and they shall die without knowledge. In other words, there is something about serving God. Please, I want to beg everybody. The generation of people who gave themselves to serve God, their children can never be vagabonds. I showed you yesterday. I showed them. Please, majority of the people here, I were not around yesterday. You still have that picture of yesterday. Put it on the screen. Let me just show them a little bit so that church can see it. There's a generation that serves God and will not fall into error. There's a generation that hates God. They will be forgotten quickly. They will go into oblivion. Their history will not be told. They will scatter like the sand of the seashore because they fear not God. Now, this is a man who feared God. You can go and Google Jonathan Edwards. He was a powerful man who loved God and served God. He married a very good woman that loved God. Then this Max Jukes was a very terrible man and a godless atheist. They went into prison and they discovered that criminals, 150 people in the prison during a particular season, they were born by one man. Is that one man, all of them, the same person, how? So a man decided to take on himself to do the research. He now discovered in the lineage of this man, 310 of his people in there, they died as paupers, terrible poor people, 150 criminals. In his lineage, 700 murderers. In his lineage, 100 drunkards and 190 prostitutes. These are the children that he gave birth to. That is how a man gave birth. Then the man decided that, okay, let me even compare the seed of the righteous and see why. They were seeing that the same name was appearing in the United States. Edwards. Where are these people? Who are they? Let's trace their family line. Then in that family, they had 13 college presidents, 65 college professors, 75 military officers, 80 public servants, 60 authors, 60 doctors, 30 judges, 100 pastors, 100 lawyers, 3 United States senators, and a vice president from one man's seed. One man's loins. Why? He served the Lord. I want you to understand that they that serve God, they will never waste their life. When they are not alive, generation after them will be reaping the benefit of service. I pray for somebody under the sound of my voice. You will not lose your place in serving God in the name of Jesus. Please don't be distracted by your phone or anything. Anytime I see one person distracted by phone, it gets my attention. Please, just honor God. Honor God. Honor God. And the Lord will honor you in Jesus' name. It was not just the giving that brought God down when Solomon gave. The giving is very important. It broke the scale. But the heart. The Bible says, and Solomon loved the Lord his God. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 3. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 3. Look at this. Solomon loved God. It was a young guy that just came into prayer. The Bible says, and Solomon loved God, walking in the status of David his father. Only he sacrificed burnt offerings in high places. Can you see the command there now? But God said, he loved me. For that love, let us start something with him and see what his life will look like. And Solomon had inclinations to do terrible things. But the sure mercies of David stood for Solomon. And he awakened the voice of God when he now raised the seed. And God said, this guy again. There are people who did those kind of things. They didn't last. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here right now? Yes. You must understand. The love for God is very important. Do you really love God? Do you really love God? It will show in the way you behave. Jesus asked Peter. He said, lovest thou me more than this? Peter, do you love me more than this? Peter, do you love me more than this? He said, if you love me, action, feed my lamb. He asked again, Peter, lovest thou me more than this? He said, Jesus, I love you. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. In other words, don't tell me you love me when you are not committed to what concerns me. Don't tell me you love me when you are not committed to the things that touch my heart. The third time, Jesus looked at Peter and he said, Peter, he said, sir. And Peter got angry. Which person won't talk again now? He said, hey, you are still talking like that. An immortal is calling you 3 times. Some of you, God has called 7 times. Some people don't hear God. I pray your ears will not be deaf to hear God. If God wants to help your life, he will open your ears. One of the teachings I have this week is spiritual sight, eyes that see. It's part of the teachings for 20 of God. You need to know, understand, if you can't see, you can't go far in life. Even if danger is in front of you, you enter it into your head like this. That's when people don't see. And one of the signs that one of the things that happen that make people not see is when they forget God. When Eli forgot God, guess what God told him? He said, there will be no, the old men in your house, they will go blind. It was a curse. Is anybody getting what I'm preaching this morning? Are you learning from what I'm saying this morning? People claim to love God, but they find it very difficult to do certain things. You see people in church today, they are still arguing. They argue a lot. They join people on social media. There was a pastor that they were dragging online one day. And when they checked the comment online, one of his members said, I'm a member of the church too, but. I said, at least you should have gone to your church, maybe your department, and discussed that thing. Why come online to fight your pastor through here? Say, but this one pastor said today is very, very wrong. You are judging your pastor in the pub. Why not go to church and tell one of your leaders, this thing pastor said, let's look at it. Maybe we should bring it to his attention. At least that would have been better. He went online and said, but. Some people say, I don't care. Man. I'm a very blunt person. May your blunt not make your life to be blunt. There's a level of being blunt. There's a level you don't just blunt anyhow. You just behave. Some people were so blunt like that until everything around them got blunt. Are we here together? Many people love food. If you love God, they say, let's fast. If they love food more than never. And guess what? If God wants to really deal with you in love and true discipline for greatness, there are times where he will take the most important thing in your life for a season. Go and read your Bible. Go and read your Bible. Just to prove your love, because you cannot just prove love by mouth. Love is action. Love is action. Babe, I love you. Babe, I love you. She's hungry. You say, me, we'll go out. We'll go chop. And say, I love you. Then they put love for plates. Did they drink love like pap or eat as ever? And I love you now. I love you. Say, okay, I'm hungry. Let's say, my baby, just looking at you and beholding the love. Oh, God, I am hungry. That's how they've been loving some people for 7 years. Come and visit my uncle now. Visit my... Never. But what he wants to eat at the backyard, somebody is still giving him. May God deliver the destinies of people. Why many young men will never marry early is because ladies are giving them sex. Are you hear what I'm saying? When ladies give men sex, the desire to drive, to have a home, will drop. And that's the reason why this generation will suffer more. If they get, you know, there's a level you know that if this is something I have to consecrate myself for, then let me pay my dues and enter. But when I'm getting it for free, let's be eating it and continue. And the ladies are going to be delayed. One day, when they don't delay for 7 years, just say, our angel, the angel pursuing us, say that our destiny does not rhyme again. She binu simisha. He binu dear. Am I preaching fine to somebody this morning? If you love God, you will not have issues with some things. They talk about offerings, people are angry. If you talk about tithes, they are angry. You talk about sins, they are angry. They say they love God. And God is saying, wait, let's discuss this love very well. Is it me you love or yourself? Who gave you life? Who gave you breath? Who is helping you, protecting you? Do you know that there are many battles in your life? If God shows you all the battles around you that he fought that you did not see, you will kneel down, you will leave work that day and cry to God and say, thank you. And many of us are not supposed to be alive here today. It's the mercy of God that has kept us. Have you read Lamentations? It says it's of the mercy of God that we are not what? Consumed. And God is showing us that mercy. How do we replicate it? By opening our hearts towards God and say, God, I'm finding a way to show my commitment to you. Number two, kingdom addiction. It's similar. You have to be addicted to the kingdom. Kingdom service, then addiction. Addiction is a higher level. Addiction is not just service. Service is you are giving yourself, but addiction is that I cannot help myself. Have you seen a person who is addicted to alcohol? This guy drinks like drink. You know, the people are addicted, they start smelling the drink that they drink. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Then he falls inside the gutter. Then his head gets bruised like this. He didn't know when they took him to the, what they call it now, the pharmacist, and they put bandage and everything. In the evening, 5 p.m. the next day, bros, Alpha. He said, my brother, wait till they do person. I mean, no. He's going back again. You wonder that this guy. The next time, they will nearly pick him out of the road and drag him. The food he was supposed to eat in the house, they served him. He threw up inside. The next morning again, next evening again, he's back to that place. You know why? There are spirits behind addiction. And the spirit behind every addiction, even if the person does not have the money, the spirit will provide the means to satisfy the addiction. It's not a money problem. It's a means problem. whether by stealing, whether by joining God, they can trek 20 miles to the place of the satisfaction of the addiction. And after they are done, they die for this God thing. You want that? You need to come to that level. And it doesn't matter who anybody is. There must be it was a dimension of kingdom addiction that made Joseph of Arimathea say, take my own tomb. I don't understand. Somebody dug his own grave where he would die. He would have said, let's rent one for Jesus. Let's borrow one for Jesus. He said, no, my own, let him enter there. It's a dimension of addiction to the man. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Yes. You have to be a kingdom and love God. Your life must be driven by sincere and genuine love for God. The Bible says it. He said, they shall prosper that love thee. The connection of your heart to God is what God is really looking for. God needs your heart. In the first service, I showed them this. I'll show you. Then I'll talk the last thing. Then I'll close. I know I want to talk about that. God laid it in my heart. So I have to share it. Yes. I have to share this. Luke chapter 8, from verse 1 to 3. I showed Jesus, what do you people need? Judas, you are in charge of the poor. Don't disturb Jesus. No pressure. Anything that is needed, we are going to do what? Supply. Why? Because he made himself available. These women, somebody say women. If you marry a woman that is an Acharyite, your hope of going far is limited. If you have a woman that is not kind, and one of the signs of a beautiful soul in a woman is kindness. Kindness. You have to be a kind person. You see those that are in need, you show kindness. They talk about the things of God. Some women will just say, no, we need to buy, we have not paid house rent, we have not bought students back. There's one new shoe we're supposed to buy. The neighbor brought another bag to school. All those things will be added. Why is it when they reminded you about the things of God that you remember that? These are women, the Bible says, from their own substance. Personal things that they had, whether their husband gave them or they work, we don't even understand. But this shows that these women had something. It was Mary Magdalene that took 1 year wage salary and broke at the feet of Jesus Christ and poured all. You know how much that is? Just imagine minimum wage. How much? Like 70,000, 80,000 naira. Times how many? Then you bought one perfume. You poured it. Not only that, she took her glory and wiped the feet of Jesus. The glory of a woman is her hair. She took it and wiped the feet of Jesus. Where somebody is putting bone straight. And they will not allow kingdom things to be straight. That woman took her own natural, pure like that, and put it and was wiping. Then somebody said, stop! Don't do that! What a waste! And Jesus said, why will you stop her? Did I tell you that she should stop? Did I complain? Is it your leg? She's doing it for my burial. I will die very soon. She's giving me all her heart and her life. He now told Peter. He said, I came to your house. Did you give me water to drink? Yes, Peter. Nice. This woman is doing it now. And you are still asking. And you are discussing and saying it's a waste. There are some people, when they're talking about giving, they will not do. But when others are doing, they say, it won't show. Oh, man. We don't did there before. We know people where they show. Kingdom service. Somebody say kingdom service. I'm showing you how people generate security for their lives. That they'll be walking in the midst of lions and can't touch them. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the lions there. Daniel did not need to do any fasting. By the time he entered, the lions decided to fast. You don't burn the lion well. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego entered fire. Fire fasted. The Bible says there are three things that never says no. A woman that is barren will never say she wants more. Then it says fire. Anything you put in fire will catch fire. They put them in fire. Fire said we cannot catch. Why? They are kingdom ambassadors. I pray for somebody under the sound of my voice. May God give you this wisdom to develop security for your family in the name of Jesus. Every devil that has been chasing you before now, by the time they see the mark of your heart for service, they flee in the name of Jesus. These are how people escaped all manner of things. Why? Because they loved God. Addiction to God will solve your issues. You solve many problems. You solve many, many complaints. Let's join and let's do this thing. We are coming to sweep. They say, no. We are going to share. And they say, which kind of thing they want to share? Oh, I'm all this church thing. No easy. Oh. But when your boss calls you by 5 a.m. and says, you have to be at work today 7 a.m. Yes, sir. No problem, sir. Thank you, sir. When God says, I need 1 hour. You see all these church things. That's why I stopped going to church. I really like that pastor, but you see the time. You see the church.
Listen, you need help. Ne, I need re help. Help, was your ma. Help, go dig. How can you sound like that? You are a woman that wants to nurture children. You can't sound like that. You are a man that wants a righteous seed. You can't sound like that. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul. They gave birth to us in church. They left us in church. When all of you go home here, my children will be here sometimes till 6, till 7. Many times. And the next generation will see those children and what their life becomes, and you complain. Pastor Christian Clement was sharing how his great-grandmother was an addicted lover of God. Then his mother was a massive addicted lover. He was literally born in church. Volunteered to serve in the bookshop for Benson in the house. Every 20 days of glory, we open the heart of our members to understand what we call sacrificial kingdom giving. This one can destroy devils and demons around your space. Anytime there is a sacrifice on the altar, you can pray, you can fast. It works. But there are some things that it will need a sacrifice to shift. Some of us already know. Some of us already have those kind of mothers. You know, sometimes my mom will come and say, hello. I say, mom, he said, I don't sow seed for you. Continue with what you do. I say, this woman. He said, I don't sow seed. Sometimes she will, on behalf of your church, she will send money to the church. I say, I've sent that seed. Now, battle seed. You know all those mothers, they have plenty, plenty story around their corner. If you are not careful, the money you gave your mother to eat, you use it to sow seed. She said, I don't sow seed. Once, I they pray for you. I don't sow. Get one seed while I sow. You know, that's what you tell me, that I don't sow one seed for you. I say, okay, no problem. Why? Because she understands the power of seeds. And she's doing it to secure the future of her children. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Yes. Yes. My younger brother called just last week and he dropped. I woke up to a dangerous seed. And it was my younger brother sending it. Took his wife on vacation in the U.S. and they're just moving around. Why? Because the seed of the righteous has to be blessed. It has to be blessed. I can mention names and names of people who have committed themselves to God and God decided that they will not know shame. Listen, you need to understand these things. Do you know the people of the world know many of these things more than believers? Some of the people you are contending with for a job, they have done something before they came. Some people, you go for interview, they will be in the toilet. They are already talking. Baba, can you give somebody, you are tapping 3 times. 1, 2, 3. Then you enter. You slept overnight till morning. Pray, you did not pray. Fast, you did not pray. Read Bible, you did not. Then you get there and you say, now, oh God, where are you? The God of my father. Which father? The one you serve or the one you don't serve? And God is saying, why are they like that? Have you read the Bible? It said the children of this world are wiser than the children of the kingdom when it comes to matters of these things. Have you? It's not Jesus that said it. Why are you not answering me? Is it not Jesus that said it? He told us that the children of this world, they are wiser. They know where to go and put their sacrifice. They know where to go to make things work for them because they know the power on the altar can speak. I'll show you this thing before I wrap up the service this morning. Somebody needs to understand it because I know that many false prophets, terrible people everywhere have risen and they talk all manner of rubbish. So that I was sharing my advice. I didn't even know. I just feel like I should leave everybody. This is of glory. I don't even know what. She now said, no, this is what God led me. I do what you're supposed to do. I personally, on my own, I would have just let everything just be. Because I don't know. When you say somebody does not know how to beg, I don't even know how to. Jody Church the other day, now one of the boys that stayed with me, he was there. I told them that time, I said, when we buy egg, if what we can afford is one egg, I will buy the one egg. I'll tell the guys, I don't buy rice. They say, yes. I say, okay, one egg. They will put the egg inside my own food and they will go and eat and sleep. Sometimes we buy shower fish and we'll cut it into pieces. Nobody can get a share. All of us will get pieces. Yes. I will tell them, I say, you know what you go do? I say, yes, pastor. They will press everything, better like that. Put it. You try your luck, you get. Because you want to do something, you want to impress your neighbors, impress your... You can't impress anybody. No, just imagine that I am here now, I am preaching. Then somebody who's just starting ministry somewhere looks at me and he wants to impress. No. Sometimes the shoe I'm wearing, I didn't buy it. The clothes I'm wearing, I didn't buy it. I cut my hair free. I live in a world where almost everything I do, I don't pay for it. Then you compare with me and go and use church money to buy it. And use your brother, steal somebody's bank, break somewhere. You're finished. You know why? I have paid my dues and I'm paying my dues. And I can't stop paying my dues. For the next REM, there is a REM. There are REMs. There are REMs to these things I'm saying here. There are REMs. You can shut up a particular face and open a new one by the power of a new sacrifice.
I said, I'm tired of this level. I'm tired. One day I told myself, I said, I'm even tired. All this. As God of the angels army live, and before whom I stand, ready to serve, if it weren't for the respect I have for Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I won't give you the time. That means the prophet was angry and said, you people have been treating the things of God anyhow. Now you have a battle to fight. You have come. Say, go to the gods that you have been serving before. He now said, man of God, calm down now. Please help us. He now said, if not for Jehoshaphat, that means no matter how you are angry in this life, when they beg you, remember one person you can listen to. There are some men in their marriage. I don't listen to anybody. Even if God come here now. You are very privileged. Angels don't slap again. They had a training, a protocol training for angels, and they started telling them, slap with care, slap with care. In the Old Testament, they slap without caution. Maybe you just should have, like. Before you know, the man is deaf. He entered the presence of the Lord and he didn't come out. That was Old Testament. But God is showing us a dimension of mercy. But he said we should not take it for granted. He said, but considering, bring me a minstrel. When a minstrel played, the power of God came on Elijah. Then Elijah prophesied. Then he said, God's word, dig ditches all over the valley. That means the prophet is prophesying now and he's telling them how they will win their battle. Is that not? Here is what will happen. You won't hear the wind. You won't see the rain. But this valley is going to fill up with water and your army and your animals will drink. In other words, it will be a supernatural thing. No rain, no wind. I will fill up the valley. I want to show you that I am God. Are we here together now? He said, this is easy for God to do. He will also hand over Moab to you. You will ravage the country, knock out its fortification, level the key villages, clear cut the orchard, clog the spring, and litter the cultivated field with stones. Sky. In the morning, it was as the hour of morning sacrifice, the water had arrived. Water pouring in from the west, from Edom, a flashing flood filled the valley with water. No rain, flood just showed up everywhere. He said, by this time, everyone in Moab had heard that the king had come up to make war against them. Everyone who was able to handle a sword was called into service and took a stand at the border. They were up and ready early in the morning when the sun rose over the water. From where the Moabites stood, the water reflecting the sun looked red like blood. Blood. Look at the blood, they said. The king must have fought each other. A bloody massacre. Go for the loot, Moab. That means Moab said, let's go. We will finish them now. When Moab entered the camp of Israel, the Israelites were up on their feet, killing Moabites right and left. The Moabites running for their lives. Israelites relentless in pursuit. A slaughter, Kai. They leveled the towns, littered the cultivated field with rock, clogged the spring, and clear-cut the orchards. Only the capital, Kir Hereseth, was left intact, and that not for long. It too was surrounded and attacked with thrown and flung rocks. When the king of Moab realized that he was fighting and losing battle, he took 700 swordmen to hack a corridor past the king of Edom, but they didn't make it. Then he took his son, his firstborn, who will succeed him as a king, and sacrificed him on the city wall. That set off the furious anger against Israel. Israel pulled back and returned home. Even with the prophecy of the prophet, the king said, I cannot die. I need to do something. Then he looked for his own God. I told you, the people of this world, they know what it is they serve. This is Israel. God has given a prophetic word from Elijah that does not fail. This prophecy was already almost accomplished. He got to 98. Sacrifice said, no, this one will be kept. The man took 700 men, said, let's pass through the corridor and attack. They tried, they did not work. Then he asked himself, what's remaining? Sacrifice. What's the last thing? Sacrifice. He picked his eldest son. I said, sacrifice will cost you. That means as soon as that boy dies, he does not have heir to the throne again. It is a sacrifice. It will leave a gap in your life. It will leave a vacuum in your... You know that something left me. It's painful. It's not ordinary. Carry the son and put him on the wall and pierce the guy and said to my God. Then God in heaven that will soon carry his own son and put on the cross. He looked at Israel and said, you think I will watch you kill this man? Even though he's a bad guy. Go back home now. And he drove the Israelites back home and said, let him be alive
for his sacrifice.
It was not his gods that saved him. I believe that, because the Bible says the anger of gods. His gods could have failed, but God saw sacrifice. Sacrifice are powerful, though. Political people will do sacrifice and they will bury 12 cows and they will give them promise to the throne. And somebody else will come around and say, I'm a Christian, I don't care. Listen, Jesus has died on the cross of Calvary, but there are sacrificial offerings. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance. There are sacrifices that you make to shift level. Sometimes you get tired of the level where you are and you hit a sacrifice and say, I'm coming out of this place. And you give, it will pay you. It will look like something has left you heavily. But child of God, that is what we call what? Sacrifice. Yes. That's sacrifice. A woman came for a healing meeting, and while they were doing the healing program, after the healing crusade, she prayed and she was trusting for healing. But somehow, it was in Dynamis Church that this happened. I give you practical true life stories whenever I try to explain these things. She now saw that, okay, I've not received my healing yet anyway. Then she now, the money she was supposed to use for the surgery, she now carried it and dropped it and left. She left and said, if I'm going to die now, let me die. That same week, the medical test declared her totally healed. No surgery needed. The issue disappeared. Why? She had given her life. That's all she knew. She had said to herself, if I die, I die. That's the dimension of sacrifice. Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say here now? Yes. Dimension of sacrifice. A young lady, very nice, beautiful lady, looking good, and she's been trusting God for her husband. God had blessed her. She had a wonderful car, this middle class life. Then she came for a meeting as we were talking. She just got tired. I said, I need a husband. She dropped the car, everything, and left. 6 months, engagement happened, marriage happened, everything cleared. Sacrifice. There are some things that need sacrifice. Are you getting what I'm saying here? I was listening to Joshua Selman not too long, and he spoke about a dangerous cycle. He was just tired. Yeah, he had trekked and trekked and trekked and trekked, and he was tired. I don't tire. I'm not continuing this kind of thing like this. Then he woke up one day and left Zaria and came to Canaan land, Otter, and he dropped the seed. And God told him to hit the ground 3 times. And he told him that you now have territorial control. Go. Sacrifice. When you see things happening for somebody, ask, what is this person doing behind? Listen, you will grow your sacrifice. You know, from one level to another. From one level to another. From the level you are now, whatever sacrifice is to you, that's what you can do with your heart unto God. Child of God, listen to me. God does not abandon the voice of sacrifice. You can't be building your house, building your empire, planning your career. Some people say, I lock the money, so I don't know what to do about God now. No, if it is God talking to you, when God tells you something, I know he'll lie, he'll go pain you. Except it's God. If it's sacrifice time and God tells you, you will need grace to do it. When I took my car to Car 45, we were discussing. The girl followed me to the house. I said, why? I will bring it tomorrow morning. She said, no, that she wants to carry the car. And I was just asking myself, I said, what kind of thing is it? Am I making a mistake? Am I doing the right thing? Do you know after I gave that sacrifice, Satan said, you are finished. You have made the biggest mistake of your life. You will trek. And sir, for 2 years, I was trekking. I thought that after I did that sacrifice, bam, boom, listen. If I want to deceive you, I'll tell you it will happen tomorrow. I'm not deceiving you. I will tell you the truth. You can make a sacrifice today, and it seems like nothing has shifted. But can I tell you, in the realm of the spirit, you have created a vacuum. You have done something dangerous. That was when we just entered the territory, and I was saying, God, what next? From that sacrifice, we took money, we bought bus, we bought amplifier, we bought everything. No one night I came back to me. Everything to the church. And I said, let's do that. Let's continue like that. I said, this thing, we must move out of this level. We move from that place to struggling with our canopy that looks like one nonsense stuff. And we now eventually build what we built there. To many people, that was our glory dome. Little did they know. Some people now, they will say that church, they don't big go. See this thing they get. Children's church. See class one there, demarcated. Class two, demarcated. Everything. Small sessions. That's what somebody's about. Each time you want to enter a new system, you want to avert battles, you are tired and restless of a particular position, you say, God, this seed, I drop it at the altar. If I die, I die. Open a new page. That's the power of what? Sacrifice. Rise up on your feet, Holy Spirit. You need to understand it. If you understand it, it's good. Check many families. Go and read the history of people. Go and read the history. Did I tell you how somebody was sharing an experience? Kai. Sometimes you'll be in tears. You'll be in tears. I've had times where I nearly cried. Who's crying to me this one? You know, sometimes you just know that when God is speaking, God will touch your Isaac. God looked at Abraham and said, give me Isaac. He said, sacrifice now thy son Isaac. He now said, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. What kind of discussion is this one? Ishmael is easy to give. After all, Ishmael's head can go. We are okay with that. Many of us, you have been given Ishmael. God is saying, I want Isaac. Every time God says Isaac, you present Ishmael. You say, let me double Ishmael. God says, I don't want Ishmael. I want Isaac. 10 of Ishmael cannot satisfy for one Isaac. Why? Where your emotions are attached to, God wants to crush it. So that he can see that there is nothing he cannot get from you when he needs it. So when you say, Lord, I give you my life, he will see life. He will not just be hearing voice and hearing. He will see life that this one is already given at the altar of service. Some children are alive today for the sacrifices of those kind of women that secured them. The boy will do what other boys are doing and they die and he cannot die. A sacrifice has immortalized him because the mother knew the power and sacrifice for him. Listen to me. You must understand that God is a God that is merciful and just. But when he sees sacrifice, it triggers God. There's no how. A sacrifice turns something wild. Because God did the highest and the final sacrifice. So anytime he sees a person committed to sacrifice, he said, this one looks like me. Something has happened. Do you know Cornelius in the Bible was not a Christian? Cornelius was not born again. But Cornelius was always praying in his normal way. He knows how to pray. And he will be given. He will be given. He will be given. Then God went to meet Peter in his house. And he said, Peter, you must see this Cornelius. He said, God, why? He said, Cornelius, your alms giving and your prayer has come before me as an incense. In other words, there's a kind of sacrifice. It will just burn. And the smoke will be coming. And angels will say, what's it? They say, who is that? I say, Kai Mavis, what does this guy want? That's the kind of thing I say, God, help me. That's where I want to come to. Help me. I want something to trigger. You know, the smoke is plenty. You need a disruptive smoke in heaven. And the disruption is not based on the fact that you give higher than another person. It's what your own pain is. Your own pain. All of us have pain at different levels. For some people, their pain is 50 million. Some people, their pain is 10 million. Some people, 1 million. Some people, 500. Whatever will pain you. Say, this thing pain me. Oh, it pain me. It pain me. And God said, yes, I want it to do what? Pain you. When my son was on the cross of Calvary, it pained me too. It pained me. It cost me a lot. It cost me. So when it's costing you, don't cry. I will shift things in your life. Lift up your hands and say, God, give me a heart of sacrifice. Give me a heart of sacrifice. I want you to pray sincerely from your heart. Say, God, give me a heart of sacrifice. Give me a heart of sacrifice. May I not miss my opportunity as a result of unwillingness to take the extra step in the name of Jesus. You're not praying. I want you to pray from your heart and say, God, I don't know what God is ministering to your heart already and whatever seed you're about to sow, but whatever the sacrifice is, talk to God about it right now and say, this is the step I'm about to take. It's hurtful, it's painful, but I will do it because I know that faithful is he that has called. He will not disappoint me. I want you to pray. I want you to pray. Indeed, we can sing, Lord, I give you my life, I give you my soul, I live for you, I live for you, oh Lord, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way.
Lord, I give you
my, heart,
give you my soul,
and I live for you,
I live for you alone,
yeah.
Every breath that I take,
every moment I'm away.
I live for you
alone.
scriptures, gather together my saints, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. I want to pray for somebody here. Every siege, every level that you have stayed for too long. Some of us are comfortable with where you are because you are smiling, and God is saying, if I show you where you should have been, if I show you where you should have been. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. As you have heard this word of God today, every action that is taken commensurate to the things that God lays in your heart, sacrifice, painful, hurtful. For us as a church, once in a year, we make a major sacrifice, 20 days of glory like this. I pray that your sacrifice develops a voice on the altar and speak for you in the name of Jesus. Every altar of prayer that has become voiceless and void of sacrifice, today, as this extra sacrifice hits the incense of prayer, I declare a turnaround in the name of Jesus. Let there be a shift in the name of Jesus. Listen, it has to be from your heart. It's painful, yes, but you have to say, God, I'm doing it. Satan will come and say, ah, you did that. How? How can you have done that? You can't just say, Satan, carry your legs and get out. If I love God, will I not do anything for him? Just for the love itself. Just for the love. Look at God speaking here. He said, gather my saints together unto me. Those who have made a covenant with me by what? Sacrifice. I don't like casual meetings. I like sacrifice. If you want to make a covenant with me, come on the altar of sacrifice. Sir, it is very hard for us. We have been praying in this church 4 a.m. Some of us will wake up and pray every day. For the past, we have done 90 days times 3 now. And sometimes I'm doing that prayer and there's an extra one I will still do. Sometimes while they are doing the prayer, I will be checking because there is something God laid in my heart to intercede on too. I will stay there and I will be watching that people are praying there. Sacrifice is not easy. Sacrifice will cost you. It's hard. It's not easy. It's not convenient. Sacrifice. To rise to any level takes some sacrifice. So always know these things. Don't let the people of the world take over many things around your space, in business, in career. You are a businessman, you are just running business. People enter inside own plazas in Alaba by eating excreta of pigs and chicken. They eat it, drink garri with it. You tell them 7 days, after 7 days, you see what will happen. Then you are a Christian there. Serve God. Do this. No, you say it will just, it doesn't work like that. Let me not deceive you. Every system has a way things work in their own space. People control things by the power of sacrifice made. Ranos kavinda ruana kapelash. Rakakakakaika. I declare, as the incense begins to burn, men will be looking at you and they will say, what did you do? What did you do? What did you do? Then you will remember. I pray in the name of Jesus, your results will become massively evident in the name of Jesus. This 20 days of glory, every long-standing issue, challenge, pain, disease, infirmity, as others are going to confirm their test and coming back with their positive results, you are coming back with your own report in the name of Jesus. Listen, make a decision in your heart. One of the things about our sacrifice in 20 days of glory, we have different pledges. Like when we do building, we'll tell you to write your name, blah, blah, blah. But then we don't do it in sacrifice. Why? It is sacrifice. So nobody will be looking for you. Do you understand? He said, gather my saints. He didn't say, be writing their name and following them up and down. Some people will make sacrifices. Nobody will look for you. If you forget it, it's not a sacrifice. Come, you will remember it. Say, I forgot. We are doing it from now to the end of this month of August. All through this August. Some people are dropping their own today. See, the earlier, the better. Because sometimes, I know how these things are. You will be contemplating many things in your head. But just make sure you settle with the Holy Spirit. That this thing is painful, yes, but I will do it. Have you decided something in your heart? Let me pray with you. Decide. Whatever it is. Some people, it might be some, I don't know. Is it materials? I don't know. Whatever it is that means sacrifice means to you. Whatever it means. Our level of sacrifices differ. What can be sacrificed to A might not be sacrificed to B. But sacrifice is something that will create a vacuum. It will pain you. It will touch you. You might need to break something open. You might need to unlock something. You might need to shift something. That is why it is called sacrifice. Many people have secured their marital destiny, their children, their babies. Many people have secured their new offices, their space, and secured supernatural protection as a hedge by sacrifice. As you make that decision, whatever it is in your heart that you have decided, decide. Set. You must, see, the way it works, if you don't set anything,
Satan will reset it. When God calls for sacrifice, there is a demand on something. I know some of us are already having contemplation. He's already speaking to your heart. What he's saying might be hard. It might be choice. You say, ah, God, how? Eh? Why will we survive at this one? Well, sacrifice. A boy brought 5 loaves and 2 fishes, his last meal, and he ended up with 12 baskets. How will he go back? How will he have explained? If he had kept 5 meals and 2 fishes, he would remain like that. A woman gave the prophet a flour and oil. That's all she had. He said, let me eat and die. And the prophet said, no. A sacrifice is a seed that will die and live again. You didn't get that. A sacrifice, he says, every sacrifice will cause you to die to the flesh. Then the sacrifice will come alive so that you will live again. That's how sacrifice works. I pray for everyone, everything you have decided in your heart. In the name of Jesus, may the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the God who honors sacrifices that people make, I pray, have honor on your sacrifice in the name of Jesus. That your heart, though painful, tearful, I pray that your heart will be excited in the depth of it, that you are making this sacrifice unto God, that you are changing things in your family, that you are becoming the first person in your family to hit mark that nobody has ever hit. I see people like that. That's what you want to do. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you are here today, you have not made the ultimate sacrifice of your life to Jesus. You say, Pastor Mavis, I want to get born again. I want to make the sacrifice of my life to Jesus. It is important to me. Raise your hand wherever you are. I'm going to pray with you. I want to pray with you. You want to make a sacrifice of your life to Jesus. Please make that very important. Raise your hand, please. Be very bold and confident. Now, all of us, as you're sitting casually, I understand. If you're sitting, just be in a prayer atmosphere as you are worshiping and praying. Those that want to make that commitment, raise your hand. Let me pray with you. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you today in the name of Jesus. Father, can you say it after me? Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and Savior. Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. I embrace your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary and your death for me. I am born again now, saved and sanctified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.